Residents of the Nishad inaugurate several development projects in the holy city of Qom. Iran says cooperation among literal states is the only way to settle issues pertaining to the Caspian Sea. Tehran cautions Western governments against military intervention in Syria. Scores are killed and many more wounded across Iraq. And Russia says Moscow is studying changes to the U.S. missile defense program and once guarantees the system would not be used against it. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad inaugurated several development projects in the holy city of Qom, southwest of Tehran on Tuesday. Inauguration of over 7,000 residential units of Maskan Mehr project as well as Qom's Belt Railway were among projects inaugurated by the president. President Ahmadinejad is also to inaugurate water transportation project transferring drinking water from Dez River and west of Iran to Qom. He later took part in a groundbreaking ceremony for construction of a water purification plant in the city. The Iranian foreign minister said cooperation among literal states is the only way to settle the issues pertaining to the Caspian Sea. Ali Akbar Salehi made the remarks while addressing the 32nd meeting of special working groups to compile the Caspian Sea legal regime in Tehran on Tuesday. He said all issues pertaining to the Caspian Sea could be settled via regional cooperation, adding that intervention by extra-regional powers would only further complicate the situation and create new challenges. He said it was important for the literal states to remain faithful to the existing agreement until final compiling of a new legal regime, adding that this would guarantee regional peace and stability. He said Iran believes that the Caspian Sea is an arena for constructive and positive cooperation based on mutual respect, noting that Iran demands establishment of a national, that is, national region under the authority of literal countries, enjoying an exclusive fishing zone and a common sea. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman cautioned the Western governments against military intervention in Syria. Rami Mehmanparast said military intervention in Syria is against international law. Speaking to reporters in his weekly press briefing, he said, "The Syrian crisis should be resolved through diplomatic means as well as non-interference of foreign countries." He also added that Tehran makes its utmost efforts to resolve Syrian crisis through diplomatic means. Mehmanparast said to resolve the Syrian crisis, all should help to create a suitable ground to maintain stability, security and tranquility in Syria, and all groups must prefer democratic means and go to polls to shape their own government on the basis of ballots. Meantime, Syrian government forces has driven out more foreign-backed militants from around the city of Homs. The gains came as Syrian soldiers were clearing more Homs suburbs as well as districts. Dozens of explosive devices were found and defused while army forces captured large numbers of other weapons from the militants. Syria has been experiencing unrest since March 2011. Many people, including army and security personnel, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country. There are also reports that a very large number of the militants fighting in the country are foreign nationals. Several international human rights organizations have condemned the foreign-sponsored militants for committing war crimes. The Iranian Oil Ministry spokesman says Tehran is discussing falling crude oil prices with all OPEC member states, particularly Saudi Arabia, reiterating that prices below $100 a barrel would be unreasonable. Ayatollah Nikzad Rahbar said negotiations and consultations have begun with OPEC members, and it is likely that an agreement should be reached between the members without holding any extraordinary meeting. Nikzad Rahbar said Iran is monitoring the oil market, adding that Tehran is closely monitoring the prices. He also said Iran's current crude oil production capacity stands at 4.2 million barrels per day, and we are supplying as much oil as the global market needs. OPEC's next ministerial meeting is scheduled to be held in Vienna on May 31st. And now a recap of our top stories. President Ahmadinejad inaugurates several development projects in the holy city of Qom. Iran says cooperation among liberal states is the only way to settle issues pertaining to the Caspian Sea. Tehran cautions Western governments against military intervention in Syria. Scores are killed and many more wounded across Iraq. And Russia says Moscow is studying changes to the U.S. missile defense program and wants guarantees that the system would not be used against it. In Iraq, at least 49 people have been killed after Iraqi security forces and militants clashed near the northern city of Kirkuk. The violence erupted after militants opened fire on government forces as they entered a protest in the town of Hawaja. Iraqi officials said over 165 others were also injured in the incident. Shortly after the clashes, gunmen carried out revenge attacks on army checkpoints in the Al-Rashad and Al-Rayad areas in Kirkuk province. At least 13 militants were killed in the attacks. Meanwhile, at least 6 more people were killed and 17 others injured in 2 explosions near a mosque in the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. Iraqi police say armed protesters killed 6 soldiers and seized a 7th near the western city of Ramadi. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Moscow is studying changes to the U.S. missile defense program. At a NATO-Russia Council in Brussels, Lavrov said Moscow wants guarantees that the system would not be used against it. Last month, U.S. said it would station additional missile interceptors in Alaska in response to North Korean threats. However, the move has caused the most concern to Moscow, which believed it could be used to shoot down Russian strategic missiles.
We are studying the proposals conveyed by the American side. They will be considered against the backdrop of current plans of the United States and, of course, our Russian interests. Our position is well known. We are ready for dialogue, but cooperation could only be equitable with clear-cut guarantees that all the systems are not targeted against Russia.
Pakistan's former President Pervez Musharraf on Tuesday appeared before an anti-terrorism court over his alleged role in the murder of a former Premier Benazir Bhutto. Musharraf was escorted to the court in the city of Rawalpindi amid heavy security measures. Outside the court, clashes erupted between a group of anti-Musharraf lawyers and his supporters. Officials revealed no details about the court process. Musharraf was driven back to Islamabad after staying half an hour in the court. Now in Afghanistan, at least 2 NATO soldiers have been killed in an attack in eastern areas. NATO said the soldiers were killed following an insurgent attack. However, it did not disclose the soldiers' nationality or provide further details on the whereabouts of the incident. Meanwhile, gunmen in Pakistan's northwestern town of Jamrud and Khaybar Agency attacked a NATO oil tanker carrying fuel to U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan. There have been no reports of casualties, while the attackers managed to escape the scene of the attack. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attacks. This comes as thousands of Afghan demonstrators held a protest rally against the detention of civilians by U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan's northern Baghlan province. Chanting anti-U.S. slogans, the protesters blocked a road linking the capital Kabul to Balkh province. The protesters complained that Afghans are often detained in night raid operations by foreign forces without any legal justifications. In the summer 2012, the United Nations said the U.S. military had detained over 200 Afghan teenagers since 2008. According to the UN report, some of the children were abused in U.S. detention facilities. Human Rights Watch says Myanmar's authorities have launched a campaign of ethnic cleansing against the Rohingya Muslim community. The rights group issued a statement saying the wave of violence against Muslims which has killed hundreds of people and forcibly displaced thousands in the western state of Rakhine in 2012, amounted to crimes against humanity. Citing evidence of mass graves and forced displacement, the HRW said, Myanmar's government engaged in a campaign of ethnic cleansing against the Rohingya that continues today through the denial of aid and restrictions on movement. It added that officials from the powerful Rakhine Nationalities Development Party, as well as Buddhist monks, publicly encouraged coordinated attacks on Muslim neighborhoods, boycotting Muslim businesses in Rakhine.
On camera for all to see.
There are no indications that the government has seriously investigated or attempted to hold accountable those responsible for planning, organizing, or participating in the violence. Government security forces either did nothing to stop the violence or participated in it, but they did oversee the digging of mass graves or perform the digging themselves in four areas that Human Rights Watch found, which in effect is an effort to deflect accountability by putting unidentified bodies in. Unfortunately, the situation is about to get much, much worse for the over 125,000 internally displaced persons in Arakan State, who are only weeks away from a major humanitarian disaster as the rainy season arrives. In fact, I think we could probably argue that the humanitarian disaster has already taken place. It's about to get much worse.
So despite very clear warning signs of imminent and serious violence, and despite humanitarian and human rights implications of what was happening, the government authorities did nothing to intervene to stop it. Not only did they fail to intervene, but government security forces and authorities destroyed mosques, effectively blocked humanitarian aid to Rohingya populations, and at times acted alongside Arakanese to forcibly displace Muslims. And again, this was the period of time before the wave of violence in October.
Strikes are everyday events in Greece. Tuesday was also not an exception. Our correspondent in Athens has a story.
A new round of strikes is underway by a professional group that has been hit especially hard by the policies dictated by the Memorandum of Understanding and is also responsible for the long-term viability of state receipts. Public sector employees working within the tax collection branches of the country. Workers in tax offices across Greece walked off the jobs and staged a rally outside the finance ministry that, according to its union, was meant to pressure the government to abolish unjust taxation policies, such as an emergency levy collected through electricity bills. Tax officers are owed taxation policies, such as an emergency levy collected through electricity bills. Tax officers are also raising their voice against potential new layoffs that could result as a consequence of the privatization of the tax collection system. And although the government said it would reduce the surcharge tax by 15%, today some decision makers seem to forget the measure was tabled in Parliament and later voted on as an emergency, one-year applicable measure only. Yet everything points to a permanent use of the measure, with politicians forgetting their initial vote. The tax inspector said the strike was aimed at warning the government against firings and any move to pass tax collection to private companies. In the meanwhile, the government of Prime Minister Samaras said it would stick to its initial plan to dismiss 15,000 civil servants by the end of next year, mainly employees in breach of the code of conduct, following the Troika's instructions. The vicious circle of public sector layoffs and additional austerity measures for the public sector has no ending. Today was the turn of employees working within tax collection branches of the country to stage a protest right outside the Ministry of Finance. As employees say, the government is trying to privatize the entire public sector structure that collects taxes because, as it says, it is underperforming. Lucas Germanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
The Spanish government is still being criticized over its unpopular cuts that are hitting the middle and working classes the hardest. The wave of criticisms is increasing on a daily basis, and every report from every economic body forces the citizens to be more concerned about their own future. During such harsh conditions, The Bank of Spain on Tuesday said the country's economy has contracted by 0.5% in the first quarter of 2013. It further said the process has been created because of a decrease in internal demand. During the final quarter of 2012, Spain's economy shrank by 0.8%. The country also experienced a total 1.37% of economic contraction in the same year. The Spanish economy collapsed into recession in the second half of 2008, taking millions of jobs with it. In Sweden, the jobless rate increased to 8.8% in March. According to the country's National Statistics Office, the number of unemployed youths has reached 21.8% during the period. The number of jobless within the industrial sector also showed a notable increase. Of a population of about 9.5 million, some 448,000 Swedish are currently without work. But analysts say the rate is higher than what has been predicted. Sweden, as a EU member, however, it still has its own currency. That is a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.